into Psalm chapter number 5. Psalm chapter number 5, and we can hear David as he's in the midst of one of his times of trouble and his time of distress, and he cries out. And you know, David, he writes in these first few Psalms of his desire to get in touch with God. He wants to hear from heaven, and he wants to hear from the one who's able to answer prayer. But in Psalm number 5 is one of David's psalms that was written in one of his time of distresses. Some of the commentators that you read say they believe that possibly this would have been the time when he was running from his own son as Absalom had beguiled the people and had raised up an insurrection against his own father, and David was running. But most believe this is a time when David was running from King Saul, and he was hiding, and he was at every turn looking for a place of refuge and looking for some hope and some help. And he found out that the only one that he could depend on was the Lord. Have you ever been to that place? Amen. You ever got to that point in your life that you realize that the only one that you can really depend on is the Lord? Amen. You know, when you get to that place and you find out that he's really all that you need, amen, you find peace in your life. You quit depending on people. Amen. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. People will drag you the wrong way. But the Lord will never fail you. The Lord will never let you down. Look at what David says here in Psalm 5. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in the wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Brother L., would you take us to the throne of grace? And you see David's prayer, his plea to God. You see three parts to this prayer. In verses 1 through 6, we see God, or David's assurance of God meeting his need. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." David says, "I'm praying with assurance." Amen. I'm seeking the one who has the answers to all my problems. I'm seeking the one who will hear my prayer. Number one, look what he says. He said, "I'm going to direct my prayer to thee. Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation. I know that you're going to hear my prayer. I know that you're attentive." He tells us that we can come before his throne, amen, and we can come and bring our petitions to him. We can make our prayers. You know, God hears our prayers. He knows our hearts, and before we even speak a word, as our hearts are meditating on the things that we need to say, he already knows, and the Spirit of God has already uttered those words that are unthinkable and incomprehensible for us to even make known. David prays with assurance that God hears prayer. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight we got a God that hears your prayer? That do you pray believing? You know, sometimes prayer in many hearts and many lives is just vain words. Prayer without assurance. Prayer without assurance is just empty words. When you pray and don't believe, you're just wasting air. When you pray and don't have assurance, why you even bother and pray? Amen. It don't mean anything. It's going nowhere. But praise God, I'm glad I can pray to the one that I know hears. Not only does he hear, I believe I'm praying to the one who acts upon my prayers. Look at what he says in verse number 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. God hears our prayers. But not only does he hear our prayers, David says, hearken. You know what that means? It means act upon this. Hearken unto me. It means do what I'm petitioning you to do. Amen? Hearken unto me. Listen to me and do what I'm telling you to do. David's not commanding God, but he's pleading with God and telling God what it is that he wants. Because he believes God will act upon his prayers. I believe my God hears my prayers, and I believe he acts upon my prayers. Amen. Amen. And then David prays with assurance in believing that God hears and acts upon his prayers. And he prays expectantly. Look at what he says in verse number 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And I will look up. Why is David looking up? Because he's waiting on the answer. He's waiting on God to move in the way that God is going to move and what he's prayed to God about. Amen. We can pray with assurance, believing that he hears, believing that he will act, and then we need to be expectant in God answering the prayers. He might not answer the way that we want to. He might not answer the way that we was expecting, but praise God, I'm glad that God always answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. Amen. But God answers prayers. We need to quit walking around with burdens in our hearts and our lives troubled and our heads down because we're praying to God and he just isn't answering my prayers. I'm praying to God. I just don't think he cares anymore. I'm praying to God. I don't know if I'm getting through. Yeah, if you believe it in your heart, he hears your prayers. If you believe it in your heart, you're getting through. If you believe it in your heart, lift your head, amen, lift your head and start living expectantly, waiting on God to answer prayers. Anyone here can testify that God has answered prayers in their life, amen. Then let's act like we are people that pray to a God that answers prayer, amen. You see, David's prayer was a prayer of assurance, but David's prayer is a prayer of submission as well. Look in verses 7 to 10. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, destroy thou them, O Lord. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. That David says, what brings submission in David's life is contrasted by what brings rebellion in the sinner's life. David, in first part of verse 7, he realizes God's mercy. Anyone here tonight can testify and believe that you deserve to be in hell. Amen. Amen. But why aren't you there? Why hasn't God sent you to hell? Because His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Jeremiah says, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies new every morning, we would be consumed. Amen. If it wasn't because we serve a merciful God, I would have no hope. If it wasn't because God is as merciful as He is, there would be no hope for mankind whatsoever. But David says, I can submit myself unto Him because He's a merciful God. And then the second part of verse number 7. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Now, the fear of the Lord isn't talking about being terrorized like you're scared of a spider or you're scared of a snake. It's talking about reverence. It's talking about realizing our place in the scheme of things. You see, we as human beings, we think we're all that in a bag of potato chips. But really, we're nothing. In the scheme of the cosmos, in the scheme of everything that God has created, we think that the world revolves around us, and we miss sight of the fact that it revolves around Him. Amen? Our finite minds are always trying to plot and to figure things out, and we try to scheme around God. But you'll never scheme around God. When you get to the place where you will place God in the place in your life, you'll place God in the schedule of your life, you'll place God in the importance of things in your life where He belongs, then you'll come to the place of realizing who God is and who you are. They said, in thy fear will I worship. You can't worship a God who you don't revere. You can't worship a God who you know is supreme. You can't worship a God who you know is so far above you and you're so far below Him that you don't deserve anything until you come to a realization of just who God is and have a reverence for Him. A reverence that brings you to the place of saying, not my will but thine be done. A reverence that brings you to the place of saying, Lord, I'm not much, but here I am. A reverence that says, God, He's God. In verse number 8, He says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. In thy righteousness. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. He realizes God's mercy. He realizes who God is. And he acknowledges his own inadequacy. You see, the problem is we want God, but we want Him on our terms. We want God, but we want Him where we want Him. We want to lead God instead of God leading us. And when the tail wags the dog, things are out of order. How many have ever seen a tail wag a dog? It just ain't right, is it? The dog wags the tail. Amen. David realized that. He could pray with assurance. And he could pray in faith, believing that God was going to answer prayer, but he also realized he must pray in submission. I wouldn't be praying to God if I could do all this myself. Amen. I wouldn't be begging God for His mercies and begging God for His favor and begging God to have an effect in my heart and in my life and do the things that only God can do if I was able to do it all myself. Therefore, I submit myself. You know, the sinner, his heart is so far away from God. For there's no faithfulness in their mouths. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. That they have designed their own way. That they have made their own plans. That they are going to fall by their own counsel. Because they've rebelled against God. There's going to be no answer to their prayer unless they submit their heart and life to Jesus. There's going to be no peace in their life because they are struggling and they're trying to do everything according to their own counsels. There can be no hope for them as long as they're in their self. Self-centered, unsubmitted, rebellious unto God, and they're struggling with life. Isn't that who was chasing David? Isn't that the one who was hunting David down? The one who was self-centered? God had made him a king. And now all of a sudden he thought he was more. He thought he was everything. I'll do the sacrificing. I'll be the king. I'll follow my own self, my own leadership, and go kill Amalek and destroy all the Amalekites and everything they got. And Samuel gets there and says, I thought I told you to go destroy. I meant I did everything. Then what's this bleeding of the sheep? Well, I fought. Well, I brought it back. Self-centered. Rebellious. Just like some of us sometimes. Amen. Anybody, any rebels in here? Am I the only one? There's a few people honest enough to slip their hand up. Amen. We all try it our own way. I tell my kids and my grandkids, and you know, the parents are complaining. My wife, I talk about this or that. I say, well, you know, everybody's got to climb Fool's Hill for themselves. Amen. The problem is, some of us climb it many times. Amen. We've all done that. We've all been there. David says, when we get in self, we can't prosper. When we're rebellious, we can't have hope. We can't have peace. When we're apart and we're afar from God, there's no joy in our lives. He prays with assurance, but he prays in submission. You know, the greatest answers to prayers I've ever had is the ones I've submitted totally to God's will. When I pray, y'all hear me, and sometimes I worry that I maybe sound like what Jesus says, be after the ones that pray in vain repetition, but I ask God continually to have his will. When I pray for the sick, amen, I pray that God might put his hand upon them and he might touch them and heal them, but I pray that he does it according to his will. Amen. When I pray for the sinner, I pray that they would get their hearts and lives straightened out with God, that he'd bring conviction to their lives, but he would do it according to his will. Amen. When I pray for our church, I pray that God would direct us and lead us and guide us. In Sunday school, I pray for God's will. In the worship hour, I pray for God's will. In the singing, I pray for God's will. I want God's will to be done in everything because I know my will and I know my heart and I know sometimes where I'm at. But praise God, when God's will's done, I know the best thing that could ever happen to be done is going to be done. When our grandbaby was there, and I've told you all this a million times, I'll tell you again, when we didn't have any hope in anything else, we prayed to God. I sit right here at this altar and I prayed to God and I said, you know what I want, you know my heart, you know what my desire is, but God, I want your will to be done. When they wheeled that little baby out and we had prayer with her before they took her to surgery, I prayed, God, you know what we're looking for. We're looking for a miracle. We're looking for a healing. We want you to fix this this little heart and just mend it as only you can do. But nonetheless, God, you know your will, and you know what needs to be done more than we do. And God, we're just praying today that your will would be done. And when the doctor come and said she didn't survive the surgery, we could still praise God because we knew that his will was done. Amen. Our hearts hurt, but I'm at peace today. I'm at peace today knowing that God's will was done. And if it was my wife laying there, I could pray nonetheless. God, if you want to leave her here, you leave her. But if you want to take her, you take her. But Lord, your will be done. If the doctor come and told me tomorrow, you got some kind of disease that's deadly, all I could pray, and the best thing I could pray for, is, Lord, your will be done. Amen. Your will be done. We got to pray expecting God to do something. Pray with assurance, but pray in submission, knowing that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts. He knows what I don't know. He sees what I don't see. Amen. And knowing that, praise God, I want to trust him. That's faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Amen. Trusting him. Are you willing to submit yourself unto him, pray in assurance, and believe that trusting him is the best answer for your prayer that you'll ever find? Amen. He's got a prayer of assurance. It's a prayer of submission. But it's a prayer of praise. But let all those that put their trust in thee. David didn't say, let just me put my trust in thee and rejoice. He said, let all those. Amen. Is there any of all those in here tonight that trust in the Lord? Is there any of all those tonight that pray in assurance, believing that God is able, and pray in submission for God's will to be done? Is there any here tonight that can say, I'm one of those? Amen. I'm one of those that David's talking about. Let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him with a shield. Praise God tonight. I'm glad that I can pray with the praise in my heart, irregardless of the way that things are going, irregardless of my circumstances. And I know that he's a merciful God. I know that he's had mercy on me. I know that he's a God unlike any God that the world has ever offered and the world has ever known, because they were all fake gods. He is the living God, and he's able to meet every need and answer every prayer. But I can have joy in my heart. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Amen. You know what's missing in the church today? Amen. That should have been shouting, Chris. What's missing in church today? Shouting. Amen. What's missing in the church today? It's the shout of the saints. Amen. Shouting for what? Shouting for glory. Shouting for joy. Shouting and rejoicing. Amen. Why? Because God has done wondrous things. Because we know God is going to do wondrous things. Amen. Because we know that when it seems all is hopeless, all is lost, and the circumstances are beyond what we can even comprehend, God is still God, and God is still going to do the things that God does, and he's going to come through for you, whether he answers yes, whether he answers no, whether he answers later, praise God, he's going to answer your prayer, and we ought to be shouting the house down because we serve a God that's worthy of our praise. Amen. But let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Amen. We got the reason for the joy, the trusting. Amen. We got the attitude, the shout. Amen. Isn't it amazing how we can go watch our grandkids and they're playing? They're playing ball. Our son Aaron played football. And she couldn't tell you one end of the field from another. But she seen Aaron caught a fumble one time. He was a lineman. He's a offensive defensive tackle. I mean, he was the one they put there to guard the quarterback, to guard these receivers and stuff. And they fumbled the ball, and he caught that ball. He was running down the field. I'm telling you, there was two hanging on his back. And Aaron's... And Northeast is going crazy because they were behind. And he's heading to the goal line. He's back. Aaron said, all that screaming going on, he said, I could hear you, Mom. He said, I could hear you. Amen. I could hear you. Amen. We get that excited and we shout that loud over a silly ball game. Amen. But we come into the house of God. Oh, praise Jesus. Oh, I just do it with tears and I do it. Ain't what my Bible says. The Bible says to shout. Amen. The Bible says to make a joyful noise. Bible says to praise him with the sacrifice of our praise, which is a reasonable sacrifice. Amen. To give him the voice of our lips. Amen. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that we're to be quiet in praising God. People say, well, that's just not dignified anymore. He didn't call us to be a dignified people. He called us to be a peculiar people. Amen. He didn't call us to be like the rest of the world. When we start trying to imitate the rest of the world, amen, we become just like the world. I don't know about you, but my Jesus has done some wondrous things in my life. I don't know about you, but my Jesus has answered some prayers that only Jesus could answer. Amen. I don't know about you, but my Jesus has done some things that nobody else could ever do. He's answered prayers that no one else even knew that I was praying. And praise God tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of being lifted up. He's worthy of an attitude that says he's a wondrous, marvelous, exceeding my expectations type of God. Amen. When you pray with assurance and you pray in submission, you can get up praising. Amen. Because you know the one that you prayed to. Number one, he's got a record of getting things done. Amen. Number two, most likely sometime in the past, he's answered a prayer for you that you knew only God could have been the one that answered. Amen. And it ought to just change your attitude about how you have prayed and how you're going to receive an answer. Amen. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. David said, the reason I can pray with assurance and pray in submission and praise because of what God has done is the evidence that he leaves in my life. The evidence that he leaves in my life. Sister. For y'all don't know, she's my stepsister. She's my sister, but she's my sister. So I call her sister. Amen. It's like I got a niece that calls me Pastor Uncle Dennis. Little Bryson calls me Pastor Uncle Dennis. Amen. So she's my sister. And she's my sister. Amen. Has God blessed you? Y'all don't know her story. It's a story of God's touch upon somebody's life. She got meningitis. How long has that been? That's been
back in 2001.
2001. They had her in the hospital. We was allowed to stand outside a glass room and look at her. She had the bad kind. They wouldn't even let us go in and touch her. See her. We could stand outside a room and look at her through the glass. They didn't know whether she was going to live, whether she'd even make it. And she did. But it left her with all kinds of problems. Here it wasn't just a few years ago, just sitting right here in this church. She could be sitting back there and she could start convulsing uncontrollably. There wasn't nothing she could do about it. She couldn't drive. Trouble walking. After many, many years of going through that, the pain, the suffering that she went through, God blessed her life. People say, we don't believe in miracles anymore. Miracles don't happen anymore. How many of you remember Joanne when she was shaking? She's driving now. It was all she could do to walk across the room. She walked with a walker. She walked with a cane. She walked with the aid. Now she's driving. Tell me, God don't bless your life. God don't leave evidence. Amen. That he's still on the throne. God don't leave evidence in your life that he still answers prayer. God don't leave evidence that he's still a wonder working, miracle working, doing exceedingly and abundantly all that you ask or thank God. Amen. I'm glad there's evidence. There's evidence in my life, in my wife's life. We started out with nothing, and praise God, he's blessed us tremendously. We can just praise him for what he's done. I give testimony that we have never not been able to pay our bills. We have never went without a meal. Now, we didn't eat steak and all that junk, but we have never went hungry. And we lived at times when we didn't have nothing. Amen. I mean, what we got, an E1 back in the service back in the day, was nothing. But God always supplied our needs. I had somebody come to me one time and says, you telling me because I've had my electric turned off and I haven't been able to pay my bills and blah, 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 that I'm not a faithful Christian? I said, no, you're just a bad steward. You're confusing two different things. Amen. We watched every penny. We didn't waste anything. We got married. I had a few guitars. And I sold them off one by one as we needed to. I had some things I got rid of if we needed to. We watched every penny conservatively. And God has blessed us tremendously. I waste money now, shameful. I mean, y'all would look at that and, oh, that's a waste. I mean, we didn't go out to eat. Going out to eat was unheard of. That was a luxury we didn't afford. Buying prepared boxed foods was a luxury we didn't afford. She didn't buy cake mix. We couldn't afford a cake mix. She used flour and baking powder and all that junk, and she did it the old-fashioned way. She didn't buy pancake mix. She made them out of flour. She did it the old-fashioned way. Why? Because we couldn't afford the extra money that those little things wasted in buying. Now we call it wasting money. Buy something that you just pop in the microwave and pop out. That's wasting money. Amen. We spend money frivolously. But you know what that is? That's just evidence of God's blessing upon my life. We ought to be shouting the house down because of how good God has been to us. Of all the prayers that God has answered for us. We are fortunate enough to have a God that loves us so much that he blesses us. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? Praise God, I'm glad tonight that he compasses me about. I'm glad on my life there's a seal. You know, my wife can tell you, we go to the hospital. I'm at the hospital quite a bit. And we'll be walking through the hospital. And I'm not carrying a Bible, and I don't wear a collar. Sometimes I just go to the hospital in my work clothes. And you know what? People will look at me and be getting on the elevator or something. People say, are you a preacher? So what makes you think that? How many times does that happen? You just look like a preacher. Well, yeah. Would you pray for my loved one there that such and such and such has happened? Amen. You know what that is? That's God has compassed me. Amen. That's God's seal, his blessing upon me. Have you ever been someplace and people could tell that you was a Christian because you was different? You didn't look and act and you didn't carry on like everybody else. They knew that there was something different about it. They knew you as a Christian. That's God's seal upon your life. I'm glad tonight we have the privilege of praying. But let's pray with assurance. Let's pray in submission. And let's pray praising God for his goodness. You know, we get down there sometimes and pray. And all we ask, all we do is hand God a want list, a wish list. A dream sheet. You know when he was in the Navy? They give you a dream sheet. You get a dream sheet. You get a choice. Put down at least 4 or 5 duty stations that you would like. And it was a dream because the 4 to 5 that you filled out, you're probably never going to get. Amen. You're not going to come nowhere close to what you're dreaming of. And that's what we do to God. We come to God with a dream sheet. We come to God, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and Lord, thy will be done, and in Jesus' name, amen. But have you ever took the time to praise him and thank him for what he's already done? Thank him for what you know he's going to do and give him glory like he deserves. Friends, tonight we got a God that in the midst of our distress, he knows our hearts, he knows our needs, he hears our prayers. Maybe tonight you're in that place where you're facing distress. It's taking away your peace. It's taking away your hope. It's taking away your joy. And you feel like your prayers aren't getting above the ceiling. Are you praying, believing? Are you praying in submission? Are you saying, Lord, here I am. I realize you're God, and I'm just me deserving to be in hell. But because of your mercy, I can call upon you. I can plead with you. I can pour my heart out. And Lord, all I want tonight is for your will to be done. And Lord, I praise you for what you've done already. You say, what's he done already? He hadn't answered my prayer. He didn't answer your prayer. Maybe you haven't even prayed it yet, but he's allowed you the opportunity to pray. He hasn't killed you. His mercies have been bestowed upon you. And then praise him. Praise him for who he is. Not just for what he's done. Praise him for who he is. Amen. That's the first part of praise, is praising him for who he is. And then we can thank him for what he's done. Amen. Don't forget to praise him for who he is. He's God. He's our creator. The everlasting Father. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. He's everything. We're nothing. But we have the privilege of praising him. The opportunity to praise him. Let's not let it slip away. David's prayer, the prayer of a distressed man, was a prayer of assurance, a prayer of submission, a prayer of praise. Let that be our attitude, our heart, as we stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, our altars open.